appreciate the testimony of our dear brother, and we appreciate the work of the Gideons. We just thank God for our blessed Lord. He's a sovereign God who calls and His people respond. Now from the Gospel by Matthew, chapter 27, we want to begin our reading at verse 45, and we want to continue our thinking on the subject of the miracles of Calvary. Verse 45, Matthew 27. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost or the spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. The greatest event that ever took place on planet earth is the death of God's dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we want to continue where we left off last week. Last week we started a series on the miracles of Calvary. Last Sunday we examined the miracle of the darkness. There was darkness over all the land from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. And with a terse statement I mentioned, the cross explains the darkness. And the darkness explains the cross. God was hiding an ugly spectacle. He was dealing with his Son on the basis of sin. Sin is an awful thing. There's nothing worse than sin. And God dealt with Christ for our sins. And last week we looked at the meaning of the darkness, the mystery of the darkness, and the message of the darkness. Today we want to consider the miracle of the stone. And there from verse 51, where you have a number of miracles mentioned, you have the miracle of the rent veil, which we don't have time to deal with today. You have the miracle of the graves being opened, and the bodies of the saints who had been buried, arising and ministering to others after his resurrection. But the word also speaks of the rocks were rent. And this is quite interesting. The rocks rent. And the rocks rent for the result of the earthquake. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. And we have to ask ourselves a question. Why did this take place? What is the message for us in those words? The rocks rent. In other words, they broke in pieces, just as a veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. And we're dealing with a great subject Sunday night of understanding the atonement, dealing in particular with Leviticus 16, Israel's Day of Atonement, how it foreshadowed the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's interesting when we read this passage. In Genesis chapter 49 and verse 24, there are two titles that are used concerning God. One is called, He is the Mighty God of Jacob. In other words, He is the God of electing love. He chose Jacob. You and I wouldn't have chosen him, but God did, and He made something out of him. But not only is He the God of electing love, He's the God of eternal purpose. For He had a purpose for Jacob, and He had a purpose for the descendants of Jacob. But in that passage where he is called the mighty God of Jacob, he is also called the stone of Israel. And then again, in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 3, or 23 and verse 3, he is called the rock of Israel. Now just as our blessed Lord, the rock of Israel, was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, there is a response to this in creation. When he expired on Calvary's cross, having accomplished redemption for everyone who will ever believe in him, he accomplished redemption for them. He could cry out, "It is finished." Now, the first thing we have in that expression, the rocks rent, we have the response of creation. The person who died on Calvary's cross is none other than the Creator of all things. The person who expired on Calvary's hill, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who, just a few days before, as Luke talks about it in Luke chapter 21, he entered Jerusalem. The multitudes cried, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the King! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord!" The Pharisees said to the Lord, "Rebuke your disciples! Rebuke them that they keep quiet." And our Lord said something. He said, "If they should keep quiet, the very stones would cry out." On the cross on Calvary's hill, friends, as our blessed Lord dies for our sins, man is quiet. The disciples had fled. Our Lord is alone. But creation responds. Our Lord says, "If they should hold their peace, the stones would cry out." And the stones responded to the death of the Son of God. The rocks were rent. They acknowledged that the Creator of heaven and earth is dying for his people's sin. The mouths of the disciples are silent. But creation bears witness to him who created all things, the Lord of glory. What a passage we have here. Behold, the veil of the temple is rent in two from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. You see, there's a great response here to the death of the Son of God. Creation recognized the death of the Creator. Now the response of grace is manifested. Grace, oh what a word is grace. Jesus Christ the Lord was grace incarnate. He forgave a poor, defiled Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven demons. Now her forgiveness is complete. He forgave her previously on the ground that he would accomplish redemption and forgiveness would be complete. He forgave a tax collector by the name of Zacchaeus. Who likes a tax collector? Oh, no one does. And Zacchaeus was all alone, thinking nobody knew where he was. But our Lord knows where everybody is. Hebrews 4 verse 13 says, "All things are naked and opened to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And for any man to think that he can hide from God, he's a fool." No one is able to hide from God. God knows where everyone is. Old Ahab tried it. Ahab thought that he disguised himself, and he went into a chariot because it had been prophesied of him that he's going to go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead. And he thought that the word of the prophet would come to nothing. And he thought that because no man knew who he was, that God didn't know who he was. But a certain man drew a bow at a venture. One of my favorite text scriptures. A certain man drew a bow at a venture. He didn't know what he did. He couldn't do it again if he tried. And he smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. The only place where the arrow could do any damage, that's where it hit. God keep his word. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. And a tax collector was forgiven. Oh, what a God we have. But then there on Calvary's cross, there's another person. We sing about him when we use Copper's hymn, don't we? The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. That dying thief, he had reviled the Son of God. Can you imagine a man facing death, knowing it won't be long till he's in eternity, reviling the man who went about doing good? He reviled the Son of God, but then he began to think, as divine mercy was working upon his soul, and God performing a work of regeneration in the heart, he turned to that one, and he could say, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And our Lord forgave him. But our Lord himself, when we talk about grace incarnate, we read in Luke chapter 23, verse 33, some time elements concerning Calvary. And when they were come to the place called Calvary, that word when is a time element. When they were come to a place called Calvary, there they crucified him. Then, another time element, when he was crucified, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Creation knew. Man is ignorant. The ignorance of man, and God graciously, a few days later, when the Holy Spirit was given, through the preaching of the gospel, something happened. The Holy Spirit came down and touched a multitude and brought them into the kingdom by saving grace. If these stones, or if these people keep quiet, the very stones will cry out and witness to the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you glad for the Gideon? I am. They're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. They place the word of God within the reach of people. Now I know this is a day that we have quite a full schedule, but I'd like to say a few things in closing this morning. First of all, in the life of our Lord, he performed many miracles that proved who he was. John in his gospel account tells us in John chapter 20 and verse 20 and 21, many other signs or miracles truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing have life through his name. The miracles declare that he's the Son of God. These are written that you might believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God. In the death of our blessed Lord, miracles surround it. Miracles surround the death of the Son of God. Why? That his grace may abound to deliver men from the slavery of sin. The third thing I want to leave with you is this. Do we know what sin is? Did you ever look at the ocean, at a rock in the ocean when the tide's out? It's dirty. There are barnacles on it. seaweed wrapped around it. What a picture of sin. Did you ever look at it when the tide's in? You can't see it. It's coming. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has done for His people. Their sins are covered. They're hidden from view. They stand clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's what Christ accomplished for us at Calvary. We sang this morning, "Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood." The blood of Jesus Christ is available to cleanse us from all sin. And the rocks rent. Creation has responded to the death of Jesus Christ. One question of you. What is your response to his death? Have you responded? Creation responded in an audible way, in a public way. If you've responded to it, have you told anybody? Are you telling them? What a privilege to respond to the death of God's dear Son. I think we should sing Copper's hymn this morning. 265, we'll sing the second stanza, I think it is, and then we'll sing one other. We'll sing two stanzas of 265. "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." I especially love that second stanza. And then we'll sing the last one also. "When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save." In other words, in the presence of God in glory, in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing of the glories of the Redeemer, his mighty power to save. Have you responded to Calvary? Let's stand together and sing verse 2 and verse 5.